The Green Bay Packers lost to the Pittsburgh Steelers on Sunday, but the bigger news is the injury to wide receiver Jordy Nelson, who reportedly has a torn ACL. So where did the Packers go from here? We'll ask Chris Licata of ProFootballSpot.com. It's all coming up on Railbird Central next. Packers fans, well, maybe not a good morning, but a morning nonetheless. I'm Brian Kirvu. I'm your host. We're talking some Packers football this morning. We're talking about a loss to the Pittsburgh Steelers and perhaps an even greater loss. Well, not perhaps. It is. Losing Jordy Nelson is the topic of the day here. And to talk about that, we have a guest joining us on the phone this morning. We have Chris Licata of ProFootballSpot.com, who was at the game yesterday. Chris, how you doing this morning?
I'm doing well, Brian. Thanks for having me.
No problem.
Looking forward to talking some Packers football.
Yes, yes, yes. Chris is at the airport as we speak as he's getting ready to leave Pittsburgh, but has some time to talk a little football this morning. Chris, the news is Jordy Nelson has a torn ACL, albeit we're still waiting the results of the MRI and official word from the Packers. But what I guess I want to know is how much impact does this have on the Packers' championship hopes?
I think the Packers' hopes are still very high for Super Bowl. It will take a little bit of a hit here, but it's not catastrophic by any means. I think they'll look to replace his production in-house with the guys they already have. I can't see them looking at any free agent option at this point in time. So I think you're going to see a lot more Rand McCobb. They're going to need to see Devontae Adams step up quicker than expected, possibly. But I think he's ready to take on that role. And maybe even guys like Jared Everdarris and Jeff James at this point would get some more snaps.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I mean, is this a team that can still, you know, I mean, how much does it affect them? If they were, you know, let's say a 11-12 win team, does that decrease at all with the loss of Jordy Nelson?
I don't think it decreases by that much of an impact, but for sure, you can't replace the 1,500 yards and the variety of things that Jordy Nelson brings to the Packers offense. They're just going to have to look for other ways to move the ball, and I don't think they'll have that big of a problem finding that going forward.
You were there at Heinz Field. What were your impressions of the turf? I know some people saw the many injuries that happened yesterday and wondered if the turf caused them. Did you get the impression at all?
It was a little tough to tell from the stands, actually, but when you go back and watch the tape, it does look like there were some issues with slipping and sliding. Specifically, even when on Eddie Lacy's first touchdown, you see him run into the end zone, and even he slips just nonchalantly. So I think there were some concerns there. I went back and looked. Heinz Field hosted the U.S. women's soccer team all but a week ago, so that could have possibly had something to do with it. But, I mean, it wasn't in tip-top shape from what you see in video.
Do you think Devontae Adams is, what kind of statistical production do you expect out of him, kind of the guy expected to step into the number two role?
Yeah, well, he did have a coming out party last year against Dallas in New England, so I think he's ready to take on a bigger role in the offense for sure. He could be looking to push 1,000 receiving yards this year, now that Nelson possibly out for the season. I think he's ready. He's a big time explosive receiver. He should be able to step in right away opposite Randall Cobb and put up some big numbers in practice.
We're talking to Chris Licata of ProFootballSpot.com here at a Monday morning after a Packers loss and an injury to Jordy Nelson yesterday. Chris, unfortunately, Nelson wasn't the only injury to come out of this game. Both TJ Lang and Scott Tolzien were being evaluated for concussions. How much do these injuries concern you?
Well, dealing with head injuries is always a concern. I don't think there's been any updates about the severity of these concussions yet, but obviously we're hoping for the best season, especially for TJ Lang, a big-time player on the interior offensive line there. He's been pretty healthy in the past. I think he's played all 16 games past three of the full season, so that's a little worrisome if he goes down due to the depth on the interior line. They had Garth Gerhardt step into his right guard spot yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
But that's going to be a major concern. Hopefully he's back for week one. As for Tolzien, you're hoping the same thing, but there's a little more leeway, obviously, with the backup quarterback. But he did look good in his playing time yesterday, completed 11 of his 19 passes, hit some balls in tight windows. So I think that he's trending upward, so that's a good sign. Hopefully he can get healthy.
Yeah, kind of interesting with Tolzien. Kind of for the second week in a row, he looked pretty good. I'm almost at the point where I'm wondering, could Scott Tolzien start on an NFL team somewhere out there? What do you think?
I think you'd have an all right. You'd have a fighter's chance. He definitely improved his arm strength. You can definitely tell that through the first two games here. He looks a little more confident, but it still feels like he's telegraphing some of his throws. When you see him try to get to his second and third read on times, that's usually when the pressure is getting there and the clock isn't going off in his head. So obviously, he's still a work in progress, but I do think he's trending in the right direction overall.
Hope so. How much longer can the Don Barclay experiment at left tackle continue?
Not much longer if they value their quarterback play. let me give you some numbers. Barclay tied for the most snaps on offense yesterday at 49. He finished with a minus 2.2 grade, according to Pro Football Focus, which was the second lowest on offense behind Brett Hundley, I believe. He gave up two of the sacks. Obviously, I think they're back-to-back. He seemed to struggle with power off the edge, especially with James Harrison and Jarvis Jones. I went back and looked at those sacks, and he was just caught off guard and thrown to the side at times. So I think he's going to continue to struggle if he sees playing time on the edge there at tackle. He probably made for a much better guard as we've seen in the past. So hopefully that's the next step for him. But there's still a spot on the team for him.
So what do you think the Packers do at left tackle, though? I mean, let's just assume, you know, David Bakhtiari is out at least next week. I don't know if he will be or not, but let's assume for the time being. What do the Packers do there?
Well, for starters, I'm surprised that they really haven't given Brian Bulaga a chance to slide over there to left tackle. I mean, he has experience with that in the past, albeit not much. But I think that is one option for them. They tried Josh Walker there yesterday. It's not for very long, but, I mean, there's a second option for him. Other than that, they're going to be thin there. So I think Barclay could continue to see time. They obviously trust him if they're giving him time there now. I mean, it's just a matter of improving for him.
We've talked about a lot of negatives here after yesterday's game, first being a loss and then being injuries on top of that. But among the positive performance to come out of the game was running back Eddie Lacy. Do you think he's in mid-season form?
I do. He looked very good yesterday. Even on the six carries, he's averaging about 5 yards a carry. And he had a police escort into the end zone on that first quarter touchdown run. So that's a good sign for the Packers, and that rushing offense should be top of the NFL this year.
Yeah.
But Lacy,
go ahead, go ahead.
His powerful self.
Yeah. Certainly looking good and continuing to look good. There's been no stopping from him looking good dating back to his rookie year. Last question here, Chris. What did you make of the rookie cornerbacks? Because I think all three of them kind of made an impression, be it good or bad, but I want to get your thoughts on the matter.
Well, for starters, Ladarius Gunter continues to shock the world here a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
How he went undrafted, that's still a mystery to Packers fans all around. But Pro Football Focus gave him the highest grade in the Packers yesterday, plus 3.3. He had a couple of nice pass breakups on some of the Steelers' bigger receivers yesterday. He continued to look great. I think his roster spot on the team is all but sealed at this point. It's just a matter of playing time going forward. Another bright spot was Demaryius Randle, first round pick. He had that very nice interception on Martavis Bryant in the third quarter there. He also played about 33 snaps, so it was a good sample size of him, and I think we'll see a lot more of him going forward. And then you have last week's star, Quentin Rollins, second-round pick. I think he took a little bit of a step back, especially in that deep ball of Sammy Coates in the third quarter there.
Mm-hmm.
He did get beat there. But he still has plenty of time to get on the right track. I think he'll continue to see playing time as the preseason goes forward and compete with Demaryius Randle for hopefully a starting spot in opening week.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how it all plays out here. All three of those guys overall, I think, have looked very good, albeit Rollins with a rough game yesterday. But he's a rookie. Chris, thanks so much for joining us this morning, taking a little time out of your day to talk to us at the airport. Have a good flight, all right?
Thank you, Brian. Appreciate it.
All right, no problem. Yeah, you too. Chris Licata of ProFootballSpot.com joining us here at Railbird Central on a Monday morning. Glad to have him joining us. Glad to have you, the listener, joining us as well as we continue our discussion here of the Packers' loss yesterday to the Pittsburgh Steelers in week two of preseason action. My 2 cents on the news of the day, Jordy Nelson reportedly suffering an ACL injury, albeit we are still waiting official word and the severity and things like that. And I'm wondering if Nelson is possibly a candidate for the short-term injured reserve designation, in which he would miss, you know, approximately half the season, but still be eligible to come back. If the Packers decide to go in that direction, Nelson would miss the first, he couldn't practice for the first 6 weeks of the season. He couldn't return to game action until after 8 weeks, but after that he would be eligible to return. I wonder if that's what the Packers do with Nelson, if there's any hope whatsoever after a couple months, whether he could potentially return late in the year, maybe not unlike what Randall Cobb did 2 years ago in 2013, albeit he had a little bit different injury. He had a broken, fibula? So it was a broken bone, and that's probably a little bit better injury to have if you have any hopes of returning. But maybe we're not ready to close the door yet on Jordy Nelson. We'll see. Obviously, we need more information here, and you know, we just got to give it time. I know everybody out there is interested in finding out more about what's up with Jordy Nelson, and holding out the hope that maybe it's not a torn ACL at all. But I wouldn't hold out your hopes too much there. Hold him out that he could return or something late in the year. We will see. Assuming Jordy Nelson is out for the year or out for a long time, no, I do not think the Packers championship hopes are over. The Packers have built a lot of talent on that offensive side of the football. And you know, something Jordy Nelson hardly has a hand in whatsoever is the running game. He does a little bit blocking here and there, but I don't think he's the difference in the Packers running game. So, I mean, that's not affected at all. And Eddie Lacy should, as he showed yesterday, should still be the man, and the Packers can still, you know, expect that phase of the game to be as good as ever. But you know, in the passing game, is it difficult without Jordy Nelson? Sure. Is it impossible to replace? I mean, maybe you don't replace him entirely, but I think, the Packers have a lot of options there. And I think everybody on the Packers roster is going to see a little bit more action, a little bit more production. Although I certainly think Davante Adams will see his production rise the most, the guy who kind of steps into the number two wide receiver role, so to speak, with kind of Randall Cobb being your number one type of guy. Davante Adams had an encouraging rookie season, maybe a little bit, awestruck about it or awe-inspiring, I guess I should say. You know, what did he have? 30-plus some catches, 600 yards, four touchdowns, something in that range. I mean, okay, good for a rookie, but nothing great. I think you just see that number rise by quite a bit this year. I mean, I don't think it's, you know, out of the question to see Davante Adams doubling his production from last year. And I think everybody, you'll see a little bit a tick in their production as well. You know, Randall Cobb can go from being the number two to the number one wide receiver. Davante Adams makes the big jump. And then the guys further down the depth chart, I think Ty Montgomery will emerge as an option this year. Jeff Janis will, you know, kind of be maybe their number four wide receiver and maybe not have huge numbers, but give a little bit to the Packers here and there. I think you'll see tight end Richard Rodgers make a big jump. You may even see a guy like running back Rajon Neal be used as a third down back type of specialist out of the backfield, getting a little bit of receiving production here and there. So if you can just get, if you can get a lot of production in Davante Adams, great. And then if you can see a little bit from all these guys, Rodgers, Montgomery, Janis, Neal, Cobb, I mean, then you basically got Jordy Nelson covered. So I think the Packers are in good shape. Yeah, I'm holding out hope maybe he returns late in the year. Not counting on it, but I don't think the Packers' chances are over by any means. This can still be a Super Bowl contending team. Doesn't make it easier, but I still think they can do it, especially if Davante Adams emerges as the guy we think and hope he can be. Of course, the bigger matter here is how worthless preseason games are and whether the NFL can do away with them. I mean, this has been a debate, not just, I mean, obviously we're reacting to it in the wake of the Jordy Nelson injury here, but it's not as if this has never been broached before anywhere else. You know, whether the NFL can reduce the number of preseason games. I mean, it's been debated by the NFL for a long time. And as we saw Packers president Mark Murphy pretty much acknowledge during the Packers owners meeting that, you know, that it's basically a matter of money more than anything else. You know, could the league reduce it? Sure. But I mean, they're talking about, you know, every game brings in millions of dollars. You know, when you got a sold out stadium, you know, tickets being sold and concessions being purchased and merchandise and parking and all those kind of things. You know, we're not talking a few, we're talking tens of millions of dollars. So, I mean, are the players going to be willing to take less money in order to have fewer preseason games? I doubt it, so I'm not sure what the answer is there. But I do know one thing. The Packers do have to figure out a way somehow to do variable ticket pricing because a lot of teams across the NFL are doing it, in which, you know, the preseason games cost less, and usually that means there are other games that cost more. They'll somehow create some sort of, you know, featured game against a division rival that costs a little bit more money. And yeah, I know that the Packers are challenged because they have two season ticket bases, and how do they make that as equitable as possible and equal for everybody, so they're not, you know, gouging one ticket package and not another. But tough nuts, you know, the Packers just got to figure out a way to do that somehow. And the sooner the better, because they've been talking about it now for about the past two seasons and haven't done it. And I think the time has come. If you're going to sit here and watch star players like Jordy Nelson be injured in a preseason game, yeah, you better be paying less money for that. So that's got to come down the pike pretty darn soon. Okay, reacting to the game here, basically going over The post-game chips report, as I publish every week at 24/7 Sports. Just scroll through the archives there at our Packers page at 24/7 Sports, and you can find it. But going through all of them here, the blue chip players from yesterday, the guys who played the best, in my opinion, in the aftermath of yesterday's game, and a lot of guys I already asked Chris Licata about, but to give my own opinion on them, Scott Tolzien and Eddie Lacy, your blue chip players. And you know, like I said, the kind of the second week in a row, Scott Tolzien has played really, really well, which you know, it's unfortunate, of course, that he had the concussion or being evaluated at least for a concussion in the aftermath of yesterday's game. Kind of coming out of the blue after the game is when that was, you know, kind of they brought that to light, and you never would have guessed it during the game because, I mean, it's not like Scott Tolzien came out because of injury. Yeah, he was replaced eventually, but it looked to be just because, you know, the Packers were making their expected, you know, change of quarterbacks where Brett Hundley came into the game. But, I mean, you certainly got to be encouraged by what Scott Tolzien is offering as a backup quarterback. It's a far cry, to say the least, from the days of when the Packers had B.J. Coleman and Graham Harrell as their backups. I think you're starting to feel a whole lot better about the Packers' backup quarterback situation should anything happen to Aaron Rodgers, knock on wood. Not that you're hoping for that, but, you know, Scott Tolzien here now in his, I believe, fifth year in the NFL. Obviously he's starting to learn things, and what I saw from him yesterday, especially on that touchdown pass to Richard Rodgers, boy, he displayed a quick release on that pass. He knew he wanted to go to Richard Rodgers right off the bat. And yeah, maybe we can be concerned about is when he has to make his second and third reads, as Chris Licata just said, but boy, he saw Richard Rodgers going over the middle for that touchdown pass. And Scott Tolzien really had not only a strong arm, but a quick release that I thought was really exciting to watch there as the Packers went on a scoring drive and actually, you know, extended the lead at the point there. So that was really nice to see. And Eddie Lacy being Eddie Lacy, you know, averaging 5 yards a carry. And you know, he's the same. He's steady Eddie. I mean, he's the same guy you see every game. He looked good in the first preseason game. He looked good last season. He looked good his rookie season. It's been rare when Eddie Lacy hasn't looked all that good. You can make the argument he's kind of started years a little bit slow, and seems to pick it up. But maybe that was a product of just being a young player in the NFL. And hopefully Eddie Lacy just starts the regular season this year where he left off in the preseason, because he's looking fantastic. He hardly needs the work. You know, get him one series and get him out in these next few preseason games for all I care. You know, get James Starks and those, the guys fighting for the number three running back jobs. They need all the work they can get. Time to figure out what those guys got. Get them the work in these last few preseason games. Your red chips yesterday, Ladarius Gunter and the healthy offensive lineman on the team. Kind of starting with the offensive line here, the healthy ones. So we're discounting Don Barclay, who continues to recover from a torn ACL. We'll talk more about him in a second. And then TJ Lang, who suffered a concussion yesterday. So ignore them for a second. The red chip performances, the good but maybe not great performances, come from the three healthy starters, Josh Sitton, Corey Linsley, and Brian Bulaga, all looking fantastic yesterday, as you saw on Eddie Lacy's, basically, his touchdown run for sure, in which the hole he ran through was absolutely enormous, with Josh Sitton sealing off the left side, Corey Linsley sealing off the right side with help from TJ Lang and John, fullback John Kuhn throwing a great lead block up the middle. It was easy for Eddie Lacy to score basically because of the offensive line, and he did in the running game, you know, did a lot of the work running up to that, you know, the lead up to the touchdown play as well. As they just drove down the field and did very, very well. The one
pass Eddie Lacy caught, went for a first down. In fact, it was the play before the touchdown. He's doing great. And the offensive lineman and you know, Brian Bulaga just holding down the fort at right tackle, kind of in contrast to Don Barclay over on the left side. All of them looking so good. So they deserve the red chip performance. And the other one, Ladarius Gunter, who... I mean, we're to the point here where it goes without saying that Ladarius Gunter, I think, has reserved his spot on the 53-man roster for the Green Bay Packers. It's now about whether he can seriously be the starter at one of the perimeter cornerback positions, because he is playing just as well as, you know, any of the other guys fighting for that job. And not as if those other guys have looked bad. You know, Demaryius Randall, who made his debut yesterday and grabbed an interception, which, by the way, was fantastic. The way Randall went up and got that ball, that's really a step in the right direction for the first-round draft choice, to see him after, you know, missing so much time due to injury. Just nice for him to get that and get that debut out of the way and now just focus on being the best player he can be. Quentin Rollins coming back to earth after a great performance in the first preseason game. Struggled a little bit yesterday, including giving up the long completion to Sammy Coates. It was like 54 yards, something like that. He looked lost out there on that play. Gave up a few other completions too, but you know, nothing too huge. This isn't to say that Ladarius Gunter is Quentin Rollins is chopped liver, not to say he's going to have a poor season or a poor career. It's just that he's still a rookie. Quentin Rollins is he's a work in progress. He's still making the transition. Remember, of course, he was a college basketball player for the first 4 years of his career, spends his fifth year playing college football in the MAC conference at Miami, Ohio. So at a lower level than, you know, the Power Five conferences. So yeah, it's going to take some time for Quentin Rollins to figure everything out. So no, I'm not worried about him, but he didn't have a good game. He didn't have a good game. And that's why he fell in the cow chip category. And so the other cow chip then, Don Barclay at left tackle. And I think this experiment has got to come to an end here with the Packers, you know, trying out. So, okay, they tried it. They wanted to find out if it was possible, if they wouldn't have to move Brian Bulaga from right tackle. But I think you saw here that yeah, it's going to happen. I mean, that's what the Packers are going to have to do. And frankly, I don't know why they didn't, you know, do it before. Brian Bulaga needs the work at left tackle too. He's barely played left tackle in the NFL. He could use it. And if there's any time for him to get work at it, it's during the preseason. It's during training camp. So, you know, I thought that should have been the first choice, to tell you the truth. I understand. I suppose they wanted to see if Don Barclay could do it. They found out he couldn't on Sunday. But I think going forward here, I don't think you can spend another preseason game with Don Barclay as your left tackle. Not if you want, you plan on the third preseason game being the dress rehearsal, as it so often is for the regular season. It's just not going to happen like that. If they want Aaron Rodgers to play a full half, you got to make some sort of change. And I think you're going to see Brian Bulaga at left tackle. And I think your starter has got to be Josh Walker at right tackle, who Josh Walker, I don't think he's great by any means, but he appears to be serviceable. He's the kind of guy who can step in and be your backup, you know, your sixth offensive lineman, maybe. I think what you're looking at here is perhaps, you know, J.C. Treader is probably going to be your backup at center, and Josh Walker is probably the first guy off the bench, I think, should anything happen to anybody else. And I think maybe Don Barclay's the eighth offensive lineman at this point, at least until he gets healthier and better. Maybe he looks better at guard than he does at tackle. But yeah, for the time being, they got to make the change. They just can't go another game with Don Barclay allowing sacks. Like he allowed the sack for a safety that was a pretty hard hit on Aaron Rodgers, albeit one that didn't cause injury. But I think people were holding their breath a little bit when they saw Rodgers with the ice pack on his arm on the sidelines yesterday. Just turns out just preventative. He had come out of the game and you know, he got a nice little, you know, probably got a bruise on that arm there as he got hit. But, you know, nothing major. But still, those aren't hits you want to expose Aaron Rodgers to, or the one that Scott Tolzien took on the next year. So, two drives in a row ended in sacks allowed by Don Barclay, basically. The safety, and then the next time the Packers gained possession of the football, another series ended with, you know, the sack on Scott Tolzien, which was, you know, unfortunate. So there's kind of your recap of the best and worst players from Sunday's game for the Green Bay Packers. But continuing on here with our last segment of the show, and I got no sound bites today, but the day ahead in the world of the Green Bay Packers this Monday, of course, everybody's still waiting on word for Jordy Nelson. I don't know if or when we'll get word on that on Monday. The Packers don't have any press conferences scheduled for Monday, so they're under no obligation to, you know, publicly speak. Now, that may not necessarily prevent some, you know, them from talking to some reporter and finding out what happens with Jordy Nelson. Or maybe they're just going to take their time and we'll find out more on Tuesday, the next time the Packers actually practice when they return to training camp on Tuesday then. So don't know if we'll hear anything on Jordy Nelson or not. We'll find out. But one thing we should find out a little bit more about maybe is, or at least what's happening today is defensive lineman LaTroy Guyon has his suspension appeal hearing scheduled for today, according to Rob Domofsky of ESPN.com. As we saw with the appeal for Tom Brady in the NFL, the NFL can sleep on it for a month if they want to, even after the appeal hearing. I think that case is probably a little bit different than most. Anyway, LaTroy Guyon has reportedly been suspended for 3 games. It's possible he could have his suspension reduced, as we saw with happened to Pittsburgh Steelers running back Le'Veon Bell, who was arrested during the offseason for possession of marijuana. Kind of similar to LaTroy Guyon. Guyon had a whole lot more marijuana, I think. Regardless, we'll see here whether his suspension ends up being reduced. Guyon made his preseason debut yesterday on Sunday after missing the opener with a groin injury he's been nursing, or was it a hamstring injury, I believe. But it was good to see him back out there, and the Packers could certainly use his services, I think, especially in the run game as a run stuffer, where they had so much issues last season. And you worry about the same being the case this year when they face, you know, such good running backs early in the year. Matt Forte of the Bears, Jamal Charles of the Chiefs, Marshawn Lynch of the Seahawks, the first 3 weeks of the season. Packers could use, you know, somebody to stuff some runs there. How many games LaTroy Guyon gets that reduced from 2 to 1 or 0. I highly doubt it's 0, but maybe 1 or 2. We'll find out. Maybe as early today. The hearing is scheduled for today. Whether we find out the outcome of that today, still in limbo. So we'll see. But that'll do it for today's show of Railbird Central. Thank you, everybody, so much for joining us. Thank you to Chris Licata of Pro Football Spot for being our guest today and talking a little bit of Packers football. We'll be back again on Wednesday, as we do every Monday, Wednesday, Friday, 8:30 a.m. Central Time, the live edition of the show, podcasted and on demand later in the day. So we'll see you later, folks. My call to action, as usual, if you've not done so already, and many of you have, and thank you to those who have taken the time to do this. This podcast is free of charge, no subscription, no paywall. The one small thing we ask, if you would, give us a rating on iTunes, a little bit of a comment if you would as well. That's all we ask. Just helps us get word out about the show, and shows that they're out there, people are out there listening, because we know there are a lot of you listening as those who are talking on the live blog right now and join us every single day. We appreciate your patronage to the show, if that applies. We'll see you, folks. See you on Wednesday. I leave you today with a song called Nemo by Umphrey's McGee on Psy Fidelity Records. Go Pack Go.